Vineyard Church, North Phoenix, how are you guys doing today? You doing good? Man, it's so great to see you, whether you're joining us online or in person. I'm excited that you're here today. If you're new, this is your first time, maybe you're a guest or a visitor, let me extend a special welcome to you. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. Last weekend, we had our quarterly membership class, and 21 people decided to officially become members of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. I want to take a moment to honor and celebrate those people. You know, when someone becomes a member here at our church, they're making several commitments, such as regularly attending a weekend service, serving in a ministry or attending a small group, and giving financially to God through our church. And if you see any of these folks, make sure that you welcome them. If you're interested in becoming a member or learning more about that, the best place to start is by taking our online newcomers class. It's that simple. It's on our website. So the main passage from the Bible that we're going to be looking at today is Psalm 100. So if you have a Bible with you, maybe you have an app on your phone or your iPad or tablet or watch or whatever, turn to Psalm 100. And before we get into the message, I'm going to pray for the offering and also that God would speak to us today. So could the ushers please come forward? And I want to take a moment to quickly thank those of you who give to God through our church. You know, if it wasn't for your generosity, we wouldn't be able to do any of the ministry here. You know, for example, we have our Single Mums Day coming up, where we're going to bless hundreds of single mums because we love them and we believe that Jesus loves them too. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that we can gather here today to worship you and experience your presence, Lord. And as we give a portion of our income back to you, Father, would you use that money? Would you use it to transform our church, our community, and the whole world, Lord? And bless us as the giver. And would you speak to us today, Father, through your word? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord? Help us to open our hearts and our minds to you today, Jesus. And it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. All right. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about worship. And if you didn't know this, I'm the worship arts pastor here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. And I've been involved in leading worship in some capacity for about the past 20 years. I've been leading worship here at this church for the past 13 years. So I've picked up a few things along the way, although I am quite forgetful. So I want you to look at one of the commands we find in the Bible many times, and that's in Psalm 100, verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We are commanded to make a joyful noise to God. Now, how hard is it to make a joyful noise? It's not very difficult, is it? I want to show you a very short video that really highlights how easy it is to make a joyful noise. Let's check that out. Beep, beep, beep. Isn't that the best? You know, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I wish she was laughing like that when she's hungry. Don't you think that if every human being could experience that about 5 times every morning, the world would be a better place? So let me ask you, how are you doing at making a joyful noise to the Lord? If social media is anything to go by, I'd say that we could be doing a lot better. I sometimes think that if followers of Jesus got nothing else right, if all we got right was that we were known as people who made a joyful noise to God, then the gospel would be unstoppable. Because in this sorry, dark, fallen world, people are starved to death for a joyful noise. So for the rest of this talk, I want to make a case for being a person who makes a joyful noise to God. I want to make a case for why it's important to worship God. So let's look back at Psalm 100. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." One of the things that's striking to me about these words is in verse 3. It says, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." I'm going to tell you why that's important in just a moment. But before I do that, let me ask you a question. Since the end of World War II, how much do you think the incidence of depression has changed? Do you think depression has stayed about the same since World War II? Do you think it's maybe gone up a little bit, like 10%? Or maybe down a little bit, like 10%? You know, there's been a lot of research on depression in our day, and the best estimates are that since World War II, depression has gone up by 1,000%. Depression is 10 times more prevalent in our day than it was not even a lifetime ago. A little closer to home is this statistic. Results from a recent study showed that in the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic, that's April 2020 to April 2021, the prevalence of people with depression or anxiety symptoms in America increased substantially from about 11% of people in 2019 to close to 40% of people. There is a huge epidemic of depression in our day. And that leads to the question, why? There are lots of thoughts about this. You know, it's a very complex issue. But a primary theory behind this comes from a guy called Martin Seligman, and he's a prominent psychologist. He says, as a society, we have lost a sense of connection to something that is greater than ourselves. To something that is transcendent and good, to something that can command our devotion and our allegiance. As followers of Jesus, we could use the language, as a society, we've lost our connection with God. Seligman says, we have, in our day, reduced all of life into the single smallest common denominator, and that is the self. And the self is just too small of a package to hold all the desire we all have for meaning and purpose and transcendence. So that leads me to the first reason to worship God. When I worship God, my mind is on something besides me. The reason this is so important is because our minds are not made to dwell primarily on ourselves. That's why boredom has become so pervasive in our day. When I'm thinking about me and my own little life and my own little agenda and how I'm doing, it's crushing. We are made to think about something bigger, better, richer than ourselves. Dallas Willard says this, We were made to have a mind enthralled with God, a mind that is thinking wonderful, hope-filled, lovely thoughts about God. That's how we were made. So how do I do that? How do I love God more? How do I think more about God? You've probably heard the phrase, stop and smell the roses. The idea behind that is that a rose is a lovely thing, but to enjoy it, I have to focus on it. So I need to bring the rose before my senses. I need to look at it. I need to smell it. And when I do, I delight in it. That's the nature of a rose. I bring my mind before it, and I stop and I smell the rose, and when I do, it produces delight. That's the way the mind works. When there's something lovely, and I bring that thing before my mind, it produces delight. That is what worshiping God does. When you bring God to your mind, it produces delight. That's one of the ways you grow in love for God. And to get my mind to focus on God, I can use any means I want to. You know, the Bible talks about people using creation to bring to their mind, to bring their mind to think about God and His goodness. I can look at a sunset. I can smell a rose. I can look at the ocean, and I'm thinking about the goodness and wonder of God. I can listen to the laughter of children and stop and think, who thought that up? Why should there be such goodness and beauty in the world? It's only because of the love and beauty of the one who created it all. And as we do these things, we begin to love God more. You know, I can open up the Bible on a regular basis and read the stories of this God, and it causes me to fall more in love with Him. I can read about Jesus and how good Jesus was and how anybody could come to Him. I can read about His teachings and marvel at how wise He is. And when I do those kinds of things, I fall more in love with Jesus. The second reason why we should worship is when I worship God, it produces a spirit of gratitude in me. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Let me explain a little bit about how to do this. Most of us, when we get up in the morning, we start our day sort of in neutral, right? What I mean by that is, when we wake up, if a good thing happens to us, then we'll feel good and happy. But if some bad things happen to us, then we'll feel bad and unhappy. But when I worship God, I will stop and remember all the ways that God has been good to me. This is a very important part of being a Christian. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever your circumstances are, when you spend time reflecting on how good God has been to you, it produces a spirit of gratitude in you. You could even write some of those things down so they're there to remind you on a daily basis. You could write things like, God has given me a life. He didn't have to. There's really no reason why I should exist, but I do. God has given me a body. God has given me a mind so I can think of stuff. God has given me senses so I can see and taste and smell. God didn't have to do those things, but He did. God has given me relationships, people who love me, like a mom, a dad, a spouse, children, friends, brothers and sisters, etc. God has given me forgiveness of my sins. God has given me the promise of salvation through what Jesus did for me on the cross. God has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with me, to guide me, to comfort me so I will never be alone. God has given me this church to belong to. I get to be a part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. God has given certain spiritual gifts. I don't deserve them. I didn't earn them, but He's given them to me. God has given me the assurance that when my life comes to an end, death will not have the last word. I will live with God forever. That's just some of what God has given us. And when you think about those things on a regular basis, you don't start your day in neutral. Follow Paul's advice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Then, when you come to worship next weekend, come a little early, hard for some of us, and enter his gates with thanksgiving. Gratitude happens when we worship. Gratitude is a great reason to worship. The third reason to worship is when I worship God, my struggles lose their power to cause me to despair. I want to read some of what the prophet Habakkuk writes in Habakkuk 3. The background to this is that this was a very difficult time in Israel, and this is what the prophet Habakkuk writes. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That's the way God wants us to look at life. He wants us to remember the reality of him and how he changes everything. I will face things in life, circumstances that don't turn out the way that I want them to. And sometimes they're really, really, really difficult. But when I choose to worship God, those difficulties and struggles lose their power to cause me to despair. Let me tell you a kind of goofy story. So a guy shows up at the pearly gates of heaven and he wants in. Peter asks him about his life. And he says to him, have you ever done, you know, one really good thing? Have you ever done anything you're really proud of? And the guy's kind of wimpy looking, kind of like me. Wait, that wasn't a joke. I'm just kidding. Obviously, it's a joke. I'm tough. He's kind of a timid guy, and he says, yeah, actually, I have. He says, one time, I saw a bunch of guys, a gang of thugs. You know, they were really tough guys. They had knives. They had tattoos. They had body piercings everywhere. You know, they were bad guys. And they were picking on this young girl, and it was clear that they were going to harm her. I knew that I had to do something. So I walked up to the biggest, toughest, meanest guy in the group, the leader of the gang, and I grabbed the earring from his ear, and I ripped it right out of his ear. And I said to him, if you touch one hair on her head, you'll have to answer to me. So St. Peter was kind of impressed. And he asked the guy, you know, when did that happen? And the guy said, oh, about 30 seconds ago. The fact is, sometimes we face circumstances we don't want to face. Sometimes we face circumstances that are beyond our control. And if all I face them with is my own inadequacy, then I'll spend a huge amount of my life in discouragement and frustration. But if I face those difficult circumstances with the worship of God in my heart, then those circumstances become much smaller. The fact is, when I worship, something happens to the way I look at my life and my problems. So this week, when your car doesn't start, or your baby keeps you up all night, or when you feel anxious, or when you feel frustrated, or when you're feeling sad, or when you're discouraged, why don't you try stopping for a few minutes and worship God? You can look out the window at creation. You can open up your Bible and read that passage from Habakkuk 3. You can listen to some worship music on Spotify. Habakkuk says, no matter what's going on in my life, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. And when I do that, it gives me hope. It gives me energy. It gives me strength. The fourth reason to worship. When I worship God, it connects me to other people in a way no other activity can. You know, particularly sung worship. Now think, how many other activities can you do with hundreds of other people and do exactly the same thing? It's kind of interesting if you look back at the beginnings of corporate worship. It actually started, the best we know from historical records, after God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Remember, the children of Israel, they crossed the Red Sea, and God makes the Red Sea part. And then the Egyptian army follow them, but then he brings the sea down and it crushes their whole army. And if you haven't seen the movie Prince of Egypt, that's what happened. Spoiler alert. And there's a woman, a prophetess named Miriam, who's Moses' sister, and she grabs a tambourine, and she starts to dance spontaneously in worship to God, and she starts singing a song to the Lord. And the song goes something like, "He has triumphed. Horse and rider are thrown into the sea." That's the beginning of corporate worship. You know, that had to be an unbelievable moment in the history of the human race. People corporately worshiping this God who made them and delivered them from Egypt. Now, the next corporate experience of worship is very different. It's the same people, Israel, and this time they come to the foot of Mount Sinai. This is where they're going to receive the Ten Commandments. But this time, their worship is not spontaneous. They're told to prepare themselves for 3 days before. So they washed their bodies, they washed their clothes. It's kind of a way of expressing their desire to be cleansed in their hearts and their souls. And look at what it says in Exodus 19. It says, "On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." I want you to imagine this response from those people. Imagine some of them saying, "You know, we're going to leave because we're not singing the songs we used to sing. We're not singing the tambourine song anymore. How come we don't sing the tambourine song anymore?" Or others saying, "I don't really like it when Moses leads worship. Moses just doesn't do it for me. You know, I like it when Aaron leads worship. I'll come back next week when Aaron's leading worship." Or can you imagine other people saying, "Thunder and lightning, this worship is too loud. I like the worship when it's more intimate." Or other people saying, "This doesn't really feel like worship. Why can't we do it the way we used to?" Can you imagine people back then saying that kind of stuff? You know, none of us would ever think or say stuff like that these days, right? By the way, nobody said that stuff. What happened was people were filled with awe and wonder and trembling and hope and fear. Why? Because God was there. Listen carefully. Worship is not about tambourines, dancing, trumpets, or trembling. In fact, it's not about you at all. Worship is about God. Amen. The late leader of the Vineyard, a guy called John Wimber, he said this: "We don't use worship for anything else but to worship God, not even emotion. People are emotional, and that's fine, but we don't use anything to cause the work of the Holy Spirit. Let God be God and do what he wills. Worship is not about personality, temperament, personal limitations, church background, or comfort. It's about God." Now, we all see God in a unique way. You see God in a way that no one else quite does. And when we gather together and we worship together, it connects us to each other in a way that no other activity can. That's one of the reasons the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, don't neglect the assembling together of yourselves. See, when we worship together, in a way, we contain more of God together than any of us do individually. That's why 41 different psalms say, "Sing to the Lord." Singing to the Lord is something we do together. That's also why there are so many different ways to involve our bodies in worship. Sometimes in the Bible, people come together to worship God and their bodies lay prostrate on the ground before God. Sometimes their bodies stand up. Sometimes people lift their hands to God. Sometimes people clap. Sometimes they lift their heads. Sometimes they bow their heads. Sometimes they kneel. Sometimes they dance. All these different things people do with their bodies when they gather to worship is all about a response to God. The one thing the Bible never says to do, in worship is to come and sit still and look bored. When I worship, I'm connected to other people in a way that no other activity can connect me with them. It makes worship much richer for everybody when we do it together. So to recap, when I worship God, my mind is on something besides me. It produces a spirit of gratitude in me. My struggles lose their power to cause me to despair. It connects me to other people in a way no other activity can. And then finally, the best reason to worship, when I worship, it blesses the heart of God. Remember, God is a person. God is not some kind of cosmic force floating around in another dimension. God is not a robot. God is a person. God has feelings. In the Bible, we read about God being grieved, about God taking delight in something, about God experiencing anger, about God experiencing sorrow, love, compassion, etc. In fact, God knows more than we do what it's like to feel compassion and tenderness and mercy and rejection and love. See, the best reason to worship God is not what it does for us. It's what it does for God. It blesses God when I come to Him and say, "God, I love you." That gives God joy. Just like when a little child comes to his mom or dad and makes a joyful noise, it gives God joy. The one thing God wants from us, more than anything else, is our hearts. And when we worship God, we're giving our heart to Him. So we're going to spend a few minutes giving God our hearts. Because when we do, when we worship God, it blesses Him. If you're able, will you join me in standing? You know, the band is going to lead us in a song of worship. And when they do, I want to encourage you to lift your voice to God in full voice. No one else around cares what you sound like. You may want to lift your hands to God. You may have seen people do that. Let me explain that real quick. There's nothing magical about that. It's just an outward expression of what's going on in our hearts. Kind of like how a baby reaches up to their parent. We're surrendering to God. We're showing Him that. You may want to kneel in reverence towards God. You may want to come down to the altar. So before we sing, I want to ask everyone just to close their eyes just for a moment. Just close your eyes. Just to block out any distractions. And I want you to think about one thing that you're grateful to God about. You know, maybe you're going through a really difficult time right now. And you're just grateful that you're here and breathing today. Thank God for that. Maybe you're going through a time of incredible blessing. Everything seems to just be going right. Thank God for that. We all have something to be grateful for. Let's worship God together.
Thank you.
Let's just stay in this posture of worship and prayer. You know, as we were singing to God, you may have felt warm or a sense of peace that you can't really describe. You know, that could be the Holy Spirit. You know, God is here right now. And if that's you, just ask right now that you would receive more of the Holy Spirit. We ask for more of you, Lord. You know, God is touching many of us right now. I can see it in the room. Could our ministry team please come forward? You know, here at the Vineyard, we love to pray for people. And maybe there was something in the message today that you'd like to receive prayer for. You know, maybe you're facing a circumstance that's causing you to despair. One of the best things you can do is to share that with a brother or sister in Christ and have them pray for you. You know, this is a safe place to do that. Maybe you would like to receive prayer for something completely unrelated. Maybe you're in need of some physical healing or some relational healing today. We know that God still heals today. And we would love to pray for you. Now I'm going to pray and then I'll dismiss the service. So will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, will you remind us right now of your great love for each one of us? That there's no detail in our lives that you don't care about. Lord, would you bless my friends today? As we go about our week, Lord, would you continue to provide for each one of us? Would you walk with us, Lord? Would you remind us to worship you no matter what we're going through? Because you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy of our worship. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. If you're a guest, check out our guest welcome in the info center after service. We'll see you next weekend.